Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Transformation Zone. I'm your host, Velton Shaul, and I'm so excited that you took time out of your busy schedule to join me this evening and listen to some things that have been on my mind and some of the things that I feel as though I can share with you based on the road that I've traveled and some of the things that people have shared with me throughout my life. You know, today is a somewhat of a sad day. I won't say a sad day because we were blessed with a long time opportunity to listen to and be entertained by one of the world's legends and one of the greatest singers and entertainers and artists that the world will ever see, and that is Prince. And for those of you who don't know, today Prince passed away, and we wish the family well and Godspeed to all that he loved and left behind, and we'll miss you, my brother, and just look forward to you singing with the angels. But with that said, I wanted to take some time today to really talk about something that is a very hot topic throughout the world, and I guess talking about Prince is apropos because in his own right, he was a leader. He was a leader in the music industry. He was a leader because he was on the cutting edge. He changed things. He changed the way we looked at things. He changed the sound of music. He changed the style of music, the style of dress, and the way people looked at different types of people throughout the world. And that's really what leadership does. Leadership changes things for the better. Leadership changes the environment and creates an environment that allows people to be the best that they can be, to take their talents, their God-given talents, and turn those talents into ammunition and turn those talents into food and life for them and for other people and the people around them. You know, one of the things about leadership, if you're not ready to serve, you're not ready to lead. Leaders are servants. They are not dictators. They're not people who tell people what to do. Leaders don't tell their team and their employees how to do things. They inspire them to do incredible things that sometimes the people that you lead didn't even realize that they could do. Your job is to help people take their performance to the next level. And I sat down a few months ago as 2016 started, and I said to myself, I want to do something different this year that will stretch me as a person and allow me to be a better servant to the people who give me their ear, give me their time, spend their money to come hear me speak when I travel, and devote themselves to buying products from me, books from me, and other things that I make available. And I said, what can I do that will allow me to give back to these people? What can I share with them that will allow them to grow without trying to influence them to grow in a way that I want them to grow? And I came up with an idea. And the idea that I came up with is coming out. It's not going to probably be finished before the end of 2016, but I'm going to share pieces of it with you as I develop it. The concept is a book that I'm writing, and I started writing the book about 3 months ago. And the book is called Leadership 52. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the principles behind Leadership 52. Leadership 52 is a conglomeration to strategic principles and points that I have learned and been given the opportunity to be exposed to in my career working for major corporations, meeting with other people who were in leadership capacities, watching what they did, how they did it,
talking to the people that I respected, that were some of the best leaders that I have ever worked with or worked for. In addition to that, interviewing people in corporate America who are in prominent leadership roles and positions and talking to them about some of their philosophies, some of their strategies, some of the things that they've done to help take their team's performance from average to outstanding. So what I thought I'd do tonight is just to talk a little bit about a couple of the concepts that are going to come out in the book, because I'm not going to give everything to you. The book, to give you an idea, as I said, has 52 different strategic ideas and principles that you can read and incorporate into your leadership style if that's something that you're looking for. I guess you're asking, why 52? And the reason that I decided to go with 52 is 52 weeks in a year gives you 52 points. And really, when I started taking a look at it, I said, you know, how many times do you go to a seminar or a workshop and you spend your money or your company's money, or even if it's a free workshop, it's a one day, it's a 2 day, it's a 3 day workshop. You sit there, you take copious notes, you pay attention, you doodle a little bit, because I doodle too, you know, because there are some times where you get there and you go, oh Lord, when is the next break? I need a break. I just got to get some fresh air and rejuvenate my mind, rejuvenate myself so I can pay attention or stay awake. Go get a cup of coffee, go get a Coke or a soda if that's what you do. But it's just too much information overload right now. I need a break. Anybody else that felt like that? I know I do. And I'm not, I mean, it's happened more than once. You know, when they started making Red Bull, one day I was in a meeting, and oh my goodness, it was so long and so intense. I started drinking Red Bull about 9:30 in the morning. By 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I was dancing on the ceiling. I didn't realize what an impact that stuff has on you. And then I came home that night and couldn't go to sleep. Sat up in the middle of the bed, sitting there, looking at the four walls, and I turned the TV off and couldn't go to sleep. So you know what I'm talking about. But getting back on the point, what I thought about is I really didn't want to put all of the principles of leadership and all of the principles, these 52 principles, into a 1, 2, or 3 day course. What I'd rather do is take small excerpts of it and deliver those based on need. And that's something that will evolve down the road. But Leadership 52 was designed and developed so that if you took one concept that I'm going to share with you, one nugget that I'm going to give you based on the information that I've learned and acquired, and you focus on it for 1 week, it will develop and help you change the way you look at things over time. You know, we do something today and we forget about it tomorrow. We do it twice and we remember it by the end of the day. We do it for 2 days, then we are probably by the third day we remember our experiences with it, and we kind of reflect on it a little bit. We do it for 3 days, then it starts to become a little bit more of a regimented nuance, and it's not so much of a nuance to us. We do it for 4 days, it starts to become a little bit more ingrained in us. We do it for 5 days. It's on the road to becoming a little bit more of a habit, and we remember it more and more and more. And if we take those last 2 days, which are Saturday and Sunday, and just think about it a little bit. Sorry about that, folks. Just a little technical difficulty. Got knocked off for a minute. What I was talking about is just doing something repetitively for a week and allowing that principle to sink in and become part of your everyday process, the things that you do and the things that you think about on a daily basis. So what I did with Leadership 52, and that's the principle, is for you to take one concept a week and spend the time working on that concept, being aware of that concept, putting it into practice, putting it into motion when the opportunity presents itself to you, and allowing that principle or concept to become ingrained in your leadership style. It's like an athlete. An athlete, you know, Michael Jordan was one of my all-time favorite athletes. They said he used to shoot 500 foul shots at the end of every practice, and that was his exit fee to leave. He had to shoot 500 foul shots before he would leave practice. Five days, you practice this principle, and hopefully it'll become ingrained. So let's talk a little bit about some of the principles, and so I can give you an idea of the types of things that people have shared with me over time. You know, one of the chapters that I wrote is called Always Add Value. And there are four principles in the chapter, Always Add Value, and I'm going to share a couple of them with you. The first one is learn to read between the lines. Many times there are things that happen, and they're on the surface they look very, very simple, very plain, something that we understand, something that we basically can feel as though we see into or see right through, and it is what it is, and that's what it is. Take the time as a leader behind the curtain. Pay attention to the man behind the curtain. Don't do the Wizard of Oz thing where they say, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. No. Take a look behind the curtain. Read between the lines. What is it that's really being said? What is it that's really being made? What are people trying to get us to understand, even though they may not come out and say it directly? There's something there sometimes. Now, one of the other principles that is a little bit of a check and balance to that is don't make assumptions. When you're reading between the lines, read between the lines and look for the truth. Look for what's real. Don't make assumptions of what you think it might be, because that in itself is a trap that leaders fall into. We make an assumption based on what's our value system, what our ideology is, and we superimpose that on a situation or an individual, and it's really not what's happening. What we're reading between the lines is not reality. It's something that we've made up in our head. And it's funny because, you know, I'll never forget very early in my career, I worked for a gentleman who I really admired a lot. But he had one saying that I didn't understand at the time, and to this day I really don't, it's not one of my favorite sayings. But he said, perception is reality. And as I started to really study leadership and learn more about leadership and do my homework, I realized that a statement like perception is reality is a recipe or formula for failure. Why? Because I'm superimposing my value system, my understanding, and my ideology on a situation before I've read between the lines. I'm looking at it through tainted glasses. I'm not really looking at it from an open-minded perspective. I have already formulated my perception of what the situation is, and therefore that becomes my reality. But in essence, it's not the truth. It may not be the truth. It really may be a false reality of what's going on. So one of the things that we'll talk about, and I talk about in this chapter about reading between the lines, is understanding that you are looking to read between the lines to find the truth.
to find what it actually is versus what it looks like it could be.
Yeah. So that's one of the principles that I will be discussing in the book Leadership 52. Let's talk about another one, and one of my favorites. I wrote this not too long ago. It's one of the ones that's very fresh in my mind, and it's called Treat People the Way You Want to Be Treated. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Remember growing up, and everybody went to school, and we learned one of the first things we learned in school is the golden rule. Okay? The golden rule. What's the golden rule? Treat others how you want to be treated. Young man, I remember very early in my life in school, the teacher was coming up to me and said, young man, I want you to treat people the way you want to be treated. Well, that's not just for children. That's in the business world. Sometimes as leaders, we get so tied up in being pulled in 15 different directions. The pressures of making the revenue goals, the pressure of making sure that we control expenses, the pressures of making sure that we manage in all directions, up, down and sideways, making sure that we get everything done that's on our to-do list, and making sure that we properly communicate our vision, that we get so stressed that we don't remember to treat people the way we want to be treated. And we become short with people, we become irritable sometimes, we become a little standoffish, we become somewhat secretive, and that creates an environment that is not conducive to success. That's not a healthy environment. Our job is to create an environment that allows people to accomplish things that they didn't even realize they were capable of. And to do that, we have to do something that I read in a book the other day called The Golden Series, and it's written about Ritz-Carlton. And one of the things that they talk about is their mantra, ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. Interesting concept. There are no employees. There are no workers. There are no customers. There are no guests. They are ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. Even their managers and supervisors consider themselves ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. And what struck me the most about this is they have a designation and they are taught and designed for their leadership to develop an environment of trust, where their employees trust their leaders so much that they're willing to go the extra mile because they feel as though their leaders have their best interest in mind. They're not going to let anything happen to them. They're not going to create policies that are going to be detrimental to them personally and professionally. They're not going to be hiding behind a cloak of favoritism or a cloak of just not being honest. They are creating an environment of trust that allows them to work together and to do things that are just so incredible that they don't even understand how they're getting there. And, you know, for 30 years, I worked in corporate environments in corporate America, and 20 years of that, I led a sales operation with all type A personalities. Salespeople are type A personalities. Don't let anybody tell you any. They want it now. They wanted it yesterday, but they'll take it now if you hurry up. And to do that, sometimes they don't engage their feelings before they engage their intentions.
they want to do something and they just do it and they don't realize or recognize how that will impact or affect the other people around them. So one of the things that I really will talk about throughout the book is developing that trust. As a leader, developing trust with the people on your team that directly report to you, the people that you work with, your counterparts or your peers managing across the line, and the people above you, your bosses, your bosses' bosses. Your credibility and their trust in you are the only two things that you have total control of. Everything else is a variable, but your reputation and your credibility and the trust factor are the things that you have the ability to control. And the trust factor and your credibility will determine your reputation. So we'll talk about that throughout the book. We'll talk about trust. We'll talk about treating people the way you want to be treated. We'll talk about things like being approachable as a leader versus, you know, some leaders go into their office and they close the door, or they only have certain times a day where their employees can come in and talk to them. But you know what? An employee or a member of your team is not an interruption of your day. They're the sole purpose of your existence. Without them, who needs you? Without them, you're really not leading anybody. And you can't do it all yourself. So, again, we're going to make sure that we do those things that allow us to be approachable and accessible to our teammates, are the people who need us. You know, some of the other things that I talk about in the book that I feel as though are very, very important is to speak positive words into the environment. Learn to say thank you and please. Sometimes we don't realize just how far the word thank you goes. If somebody is going over and above and working extra hard or doing something out of the norm, and you realize or recognize it by just saying thank you, that small phrase, just two words, will motivate someone to just do incredible things. They will be so high on life by the end of the day. You have no idea. One of the things that I talk about in the book is a study that was done by Professor Adam Grant of the Wharton School of Business. And one of the things that he did, he did a survey of 57 students. And basically he took a fictitious letter from a student named Eric. And Eric was looking for some support for a cover letter that he had written for admission to the school. And it was sent to some people, asking them to give him some feedback on the letter. And once they sent out the letter, 32% of the people who received the letter responded. And once they responded to his letter, he sent out a thank you note. After he sent out the thank you note, they used a second student named Josh. They did the same thing with Josh, and they sent it to the same people. And when they responded, there was no thank you note. Josh didn't say anything to them. They fast-forwarded a month later. They sent out a second letter from Eric with some of the revisions and some of the changes, asking them to take another look at the letter. And everybody who got the thank you note from Eric responded and gave him additional feedback to his letter. Josh, on the other hand, sent out a letter to the same people,
his response rate was less than 25%. Why? Because the people who Eric had said thank you to became interested in him as an individual. They developed some kind of an allegiance to Eric. Josh, on the other hand, had no kind of relationship or rapport built with the people that he had mailed to. So therefore, they didn't want to waste their time in helping him any further. It's the same principle with leadership. When we say thank you to our staff, when we are nice to them for and recognize the fact that they have gone over and above, or they're doing things every day to help us move the envelope or move things forward. And by saying thank you or saying, can you please help me, our staff becomes ingrained or entrenched with us. They become part of the team. They feel a part of the team. They stand up shoulder to shoulder with us and do things that other people won't, which allow us to have things that other people can't. So we talk a lot about that in the book. I'm going to give you some of the other just small things that we talk about. Encourage out-of-the-box thinking. Encourage your employees to push the envelope. Encourage them to do something different. Encourage them to do things that most people would say are way out of line or outside of the box. Allow them to shift the paradigms of the past. Allow them to create the new way of thinking. You know, one of my favorite quotes is by, and there's one of the things I found also, I'll say this, Steve Jobs is most famous for this quote. But what I found when I was doing my research is that this quote was actually part of a marketing program that Apple Computers came up with in the beginning. And when it was first introduced, Steve didn't like it. The program that Apple came up with was called the Differently Campaign. And it goes like this. It talks about crazy people and being crazy and looking at things differently. And it says, here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs and square holes, those who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. About the only thing you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. They push the human race forward. And while some may see them as crazy ones, we see genius, because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do. Yes, even the crazy ones thrive in the right environment. So create an environment for your people, and they will do incredible things. Hope you've enjoyed just a few of the ideas that I'm writing in Leadership 52. As I said, it'll be out before the end of the year, and I hope to share some of the concepts with you as the year progresses. Take care. Have a wonderful day. I'm Velton Schaal. This is the Transformation Zone. Make it a great week.